Scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. I read, and it reads, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me."
I think we can all agree that Paul dedicated his life to Christ. He recognized that the death of Christ had implications for how he was to live and act in his life. He also understood that for Christ to die meant for him to live, or rather, die for Christ to live in him. Christ took our place on the cross so that we could take his gospel into the world. You know, during Jesus' death, the Romans had taken 6 to 9 inch tapered spikes, and they drove those spikes through his wrists. In doing so, it pierced the median nerve. It caused a tremendous amount of pain and the inability to use his hands. These were the same hands that were used to heal the sick in Mark 6 and verse 5. These hands blessed little children in Matthew 19 and verse 13. He used these hands to pray to the Father in Luke 24 and verse 50. He also used these hands to wash the feet of his disciples in John 13 and verse 5. In Mark 6 and verse 2, it tells us of the mighty works that was done by his hands. Those hands that were nailed to that cross did many good works. These hands were taken away so that we might use our hands for him. You know, physiologically, we have the same hands that Jesus had. But what are we doing with our hands today? Are we using our hands as ministering hands? You know, in Acts 20 and verse 24, Paul here was with the elders in Ephesus. And he said to them in verse 24, "Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." You see, these elders, these Christians in Ephesus, they used their hands to minister. And they did a very good job for quite a while. But not only are our hands ministering hands, are our hands the hands of fellowship. In Galatians 2 and verse 9, Paul said, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathens and they unto the circumcision." Do we use our hands for benevolence? Ephesians 4 and verse 28, Paul writes here, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." But brethren, are our hands praying hands? I will therefore that men pray everywhere, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Jesus used his hands for a good cause. He used his hands and sacrificed his hands so that we have the opportunity to use ours. As James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 25, that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In light of the sacrifice that Jesus made, how are we using our hands? You know, the other harsh thing about the cross was that they secured or nailed the feet. They used those same 6 to 9 inch spikes and they drove the spikes through the second and third metatarsals in Jesus' feet. There was a reason why they drove them in that particular area, because it severed the peroneal and lateral plantar nerves. But there is also an artery that runs into that feet that it also pierced. You know, there was a board that was close to the backside of those who were crucified. By keeping Jesus and not giving him the ability to raise up to rest on that board, he was hung there. Not only that, but by piercing the artery, a lot of his blood flowed out of his feet. It would not take but just a matter of minutes, and his feet would no longer be able to function. But these were the same feet that, according to Matthew 15 and verse 30, that the multitudes would cast their sick to be healed. These were the same feet at which the disciples worshiped him in Matthew 28 and verse 9. These were the same feet that went and ate at the houses of the publicans and the sinners. These feet were washed by a prostitute in Luke chapter 7. These were the same feet that Mary sat to hear his teachings in Luke chapter 10. It is with these same feet that he went everywhere to preach the gospel to sinners. But what are we doing with our feet today? Are our feet guided by God's word? As Luke 1 and verse 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. But are we using our feet to walk in the steps of Christ? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. How have we prepared ourselves to teach the gospel to others? For Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 15, he tells us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, we don't have to be a John O'Neill. We don't have to be other great missionaries in this world to carry the gospel. We only have as far to walk as our next door neighbor or even our own street. We only have so far as to walk down the hall, maybe to another office door at our workplace to share the gospel. Are we using our feet to preach the gospel of Christ? In Romans 10 and verse 15, Paul said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Our feet need to be used to go forth. And maybe not to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but go into our community and preach the gospel. To be able to open up the eyes of the blind, to restore the hearing of the deaf, those who refuse to see and those who refuse to hear. I'm not speaking of miraculous things. How are we using those feet that we have been blessed with? You know, it wasn't long after the death of Christ on that cross that one of the Roman soldiers would come by. Roman soldiers are trained from a very young age the art of death. They became very skilled at it. Now, this soldier's purpose was to break the legs of those that were crucified, especially those of the Jews. They could not be hung there over the Sabbath. But when he came to Christ, he found that he was dead. But he took that spear and he pierced the side of Jesus. The head of their spears was about a foot long. It would have had sufficient length to pierce his lungs and his heart. John writes in John 19 and verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out there water and blood. You know, hanging there on the cross, you get what they call dry land drowning. The lungs start filling up with fluid until that point that you cannot breathe. Thus the water and the blood, what was left, had flowed out. And while we understand that the blood-pumping muscle that was Jesus' heart was not his mind, but its piercing represented the piercing of a far more precious commodity, his spirit. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 3, Isaiah writes that he was a man of sorrows, that he was acquainted with grief. In verse 5, it tells how he was wounded for our transgression, how he was bruised for our iniquities, and that the chastisement of our iniquities was upon him. Jesus' heart was pierced for our sins. But what are we doing with our heart today? Are we responding to God's word properly with our heart? You know, we gather together on the first day of the week to worship God. But where is your heart at this moment? Is it on the fellowship meal that we're about to partake after this is over? Do we have some errands that we have to run after services are over? Are we thinking of those things? When we've been singing, were our thoughts elsewhere, or was it on the words of the songs that we sung? In Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus said, but that on good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Are we using our heart to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace that we see in Acts 2 and verse 46? In Hebrews 10 and verse 22, it says, let us draw with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an even evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. But are we loving one another with a pure heart, or do we have ulterior motives? For Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another, not with just any heart, but with a pure heart fervently. Are we loving God with all our heart? Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus tells us that we are to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. But more than anything else, God wants us to give him our heart. And if our heart is dedicated to him, there is no question as to whether the rest of us are dedicated. So how are we using our hearts today? You know, Jesus gave his hands, and his feet, and his heart, and his life for us on that cross. But what are we giving him today? What will we give him tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? Will we give him our hands for the work of Christ? Will we give him our feet to spread the gospel? Will we give him our heart to magnify the love of Christ? Think on these things and reflect and look into ourselves, into our hearts, and see, are we there? Are we close? Or are we not there at all? If you're not a child of God, you're not there at all. You haven't given Christ, you haven't given God anything. But that can change. That can change today. You can give him your all. You can change your life in an instant by deciding this day to change your life, to make a complete turnaround through repentance, to confess before men Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. That can be done this moment. And you can give your heart to God. That's what he wants. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you haven't been giving as you should the things that you should. Your hands, your feet, and your heart. Maybe you've just been hobbling around and not doing everything you should. You can change that also. If there is anyone here that is in need to answer the invitation, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.